This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O Spirit of God, we ask you to help orient all our actions by your inspirations. Carry them on by your gracious assistance, that every prayer and work of ours may always begin from you, and through you be happily ended. Amen. Please be seated. If you have ever sat in a Catholic school classroom, especially one influenced by Jesuits, you'll recognize this prayer. We said it every morning before classes in every school I was ever in. You may be wondering, though, why I'm bringing the Jesuits' prayer into a sermon on the Feast of the Transfiguration. Well, first of all, the feast day of their founder, St. Ignatius Loyola, was last Monday, and I think I wanted to mention that. And secondly, we are offering an 8-week retreat in the midst of life based on scripture and the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, starting this coming Tuesday at 10:30 in the morning, and that's a plug.
Mm-hmm.
But as a matter of fact, I am myself, as some of you know, in the midst of a 30-week version of the same retreat. So I've been thinking about Ignatius and his prayer. But the real reason I bring him into this sermon is that as I read and studied and prayed with today's gospel, I kept thinking about something Ignatius taught. He used to say, "When in desolation, remember consolation and know that it will come again." I think that's what Jesus was teaching his closest followers in the experience of the Transfiguration. Just before this mountain trip, Jesus has explained to his disciples that he would be rejected, would undergo great suffering, and would be killed. He tells them that if they want to follow him, they must take up their cross daily and follow him, that they must lose their life in order to gain it. That's not exactly the prosperity gospel. So we can only try to imagine how they understand this and how they must feel. And of course, we know that what Jesus warned them about actually came to pass, and how discouraging that was for them. So, unlike other times when he goes up to the mountain alone to pray, this time he brings them, his closest followers, the men he loves, Peter, James, and John, with him. And there, the two great precursors of Jesus in the Hebrew scriptures appear, Moses and Elijah, and converse with him. Not only that, but his face shines as Moses did when he saw God. And the voice from heaven, which spoke at his baptism, says again, "This is my son, my chosen." I like the translation in the second reading today, "This is my son, my beloved, my chosen. Listen to him." Wow, what a high, what a gift from Jesus to these men he loves. Peter wants to stay there. He wants to build a few tents. You know, let us make a tent for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter, as usual, is letting his heart rule his head, and Jesus says, no, we have to go down from the mountain now. And so they go down, and he tells them to tell nobody what they have experienced. And so they go about their business. But soon, Jesus is betrayed. He is arrested, he is tortured, and he is crucified. So what are they to think? What are they to hold on to? "This is my son, my chosen, my beloved." The voice of God actually told them who Jesus was. So despite his agony and death, they can believe. They can be consoled and assured. It took them a while, and Jesus had to appear among them after the resurrection. But you can be sure they were remembering that mountain during what we call Holy Week. Which brings me back to St. Ignatius. "In desolation, remember consolation and know that it will come again. In all the tribulations of their lives, they could remember that moment of consolation on the mountain. It's good advice for us as we remember Jesus and his friends today, because we often experience disappointments, discouragements, even rejection and sadness. Sometimes we even feel abandoned by God. Those feelings can take over our lives. They keep us from joy and love and gratitude, sometimes even the ability to do the things we normally love. I'm not talking about clinical depression here, which is a very different thing and which requires professional help. But look, in normal life, life can be hard. Someone we love gets sick or dies, or we get sick ourselves. We grow older with all that comes with that. Accidents happen. Real reasons occur to feel sad. At one time or another, everyone experiences the weariness of feeling that we have fallen short of our goals or of God's goal for us, and we are unable to reach it alone. The demands of our daily life and the accumulation of shortcomings and failures, big and small, breed discouragement. It is this sadness that Ignatius talks about. He reminds us that God has given us moments of great joy, the birth of a child, an advancement at work, a wonderful vacation, a moment of great bliss as we watched a sunrise or a sunset. In my case, a sunset. However, those of you who are just on the pilgrimage have moments to remember, moments of bliss, moments to hold on to in times of sadness or discouragement. When I lived in New York, I used to bring home shells from Rockaway in August so that in January I could remember summer and know that it would come again. And it's these moments, too, that the sacramental life of the church gathers us up to encounter the mercy, forgiveness, generosity, and strengthening of God. In the sacraments, which is our Tabor, our mountain, we are restored from brokenness and given new life and hope. Refreshed, strengthened, and encouraged, we can be, as those disciples were, the light of Christ to others. The experience of the mountain was not for themselves alone. That's what Jesus reminded Peter of, but for the life of the world. They were to leave the mountain, but take the experience with them through the weeks and years to come, so that in times of discouragement and desolation, of which there were many in their lives, they could remember this moment of consolation and know that it would come again. Peter, in our second reading, reminds his community of that. He tells them the story of going up the mountain with Jesus and of God speaking to them of who Jesus was, and tells them to hold on to that, to remember it, because he knows that his life is coming to a close. Every Sunday, we come to St. Joseph's, and we are given the consolation of Jesus in the Eucharist. But then we are called down from this mountain and out from this church, carrying the remembered joy, sent as Peter, James, and John were, to serve God's people in our own lives as Jesus did. In the mystery of the Eucharist, bread and wine are transfigured. They become the body and blood of Christ. The Eucharist then transforms us. In receiving the Eucharist, we become one, not only with Christ, but also with one another. And St. Augustine tells us that we are to become what we eat. And so we leave this church every week to remember what we have been given, to give it to a hurting world. With the words, "Let us go forth in peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit." When in desolation, remember consolation and know that it will come again. Amen.